is the world famous Phil Henry Show, indeed, Phil.
Very good.
And this then is Nicki Ning. God damn it, every time I'm close, you know.
Yeah, you were close.
I was so close to getting that up. This is Nicki Minaj and Truffle Butter. Thinking out loud, I must have $250,000
on me right now. And this is General Galen Shaw. I will be alongside as well today. Bud, go ahead.
And Bud Dickman here along with Robert Leonard.
And now here's Mr. Phil Henry, the host of the show here, the Phil Henry Show. Thank you. Very, very good, kids. And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's Drake and Nicki Minaj, huh?
Yes, it is Drake. I'm a very, very big fan, I should say, of Drake and Nicki Minaj. Although, when are we hearing this Kanye West?
Oh, this Kanye West. What is the story with this guy?
The new album, my understanding is quite quite remarkable. It is The Story of Pablo.
What does that mean, The Story of Pablo?
That's Kanye West mythology, man.
But you talk about a mythology.
Let's not discuss Kanye West's new album, okay? If we get it, we get it. If we don't, we don't, man. You know?
Well, where is it? We must hear it.
I would like to hear the new Conrad West, right?
No, it's Kanye West.
Well, then why did you say...
I didn't know it was Conrad West. I said Conway West. It's Kanye West. Are you guys nuts or something? You know the name of this guy, right?
Oh, the name of this guy. Not the artist, but guy.
No one cares.
Yeah, a lot of people care about the new Kanye West, even though you don't think they do.
Everybody likes Kendrick Lamar and stuff like that.
Kendrick Lamar was influenced by Conrad West. Kanye West. I'm not going out of my way to find the Kanye West album or the Conway West album or the Conrad West album or the, you know.
Oh, the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. The Wild Wild West album. None of that. You know, all in due course, man, we will discover it. What is all this stuff here? Well, there's the Ted Nugent, and this one here is the drug bust in Australia. The other one is Ted Nugent.
No, it's not Ted Nugent. This is Ted Cruz.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? Just, you gotta make a complaint or something?
Well, you did mispronounce it, General.
What did I say? You said Ted Nugget. Look, Phil, do I look like a rock and roll fan? All right, Ted Nugent, and it's Ted Cruz.
Right, I'm sorry.
And we're gonna have, we'll be discussing Ted Cruz a little bit later on. We also have with us Harvey Weirman today, who's gonna be talking about the... See, Ted Nugent is Austin Amarca. And we were going to talk to him last week, but we didn't get around to it. We got Harvey Weirman, who will be doing our news break today on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Last night,
You were at LabWorks there at the Hollywood Improv. How did that go?
Yeah, I'm very interested. Well, I'll tell you. That's the reason why they call it LabWorks, because you get out and you do. And I just rushed through a bunch. I was not happy with it. I was not happy with it.
But I'm not happy with it, so.
I just wasn't happy with it. I rushed through a bunch of stuff, and I wanted to take my time, and I didn't. So,
Well, how did the audience respond?
Well, the audience responded the way the audience got to respond. You had some smattering of laughter, and probably people were as confused as I was as to what the hell it was I was doing. But that's kind of how it goes, you know, when you're...
You're doing the whole lab work thing is experimental, right?
Well, you know, don't give him all kinds of false hope and excuses. You screwed up, is what you're saying.
Screw up? It was not my greatest moment, let me put it that way. It was only 7 minutes. Give me a break. All right.
It was seven? What? I don't understand.
Well, that's what they mean about the lab. It's a laboratory of comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that, a laboratory of comedy. All right, let's...
Probably it was a laboring experiment of comedy is what I would call it. I'm Margaret Gray.
Oh, here now. I'll do it. Here's Bob Bakian with the traffic. Bob?
All right, fella, got a haywire. There's a haywire out here. Hey, have you ever seen Mom's Maybelline? Well, I'll tell you, if you've seen Mom's Maybelline, then you know what I'm talking about this morning, because that's the problem. We got it frightening, and it is frightening out there. It's Jack Valentine and Crown of Man. Let's go to Skyboy here. Skyboy on the west side of Bob.
Hey, well, I'm here. I know you're not going to be see over here. I've got a silly little agency. Try this little suit. He had put a suit on and put on a fedora hat when I'm in a Sky Baby. Oh, what that was about the boy Sky Baby sweet can. Think about the record.
Famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. And if somebody doesn't get that boy, Skype God.
Oh,
worry about. Just don't sweat your sweet little head about Boyd the sweet tan sky baby.
Well, somebody's gonna get his name right one of these days, and when they do, I'll be one happy MF-er.
Yeah. I'm just gonna have to chill on the Boyd sweet tan sky baby.
No, it's Boyd the sky baby sweet tan.
Yeah, chill out on that. Because that guy is in for the long haul, as far as I can tell.
No, that's all signed a contract with him. Phil, you didn't ink a deal with him, did you?
Not with the Sky Baby, with Bob Bakian.
Yeah, but everybody knows Bakian's going to bring him along for the ride.
Yeah, well, that's the deal, Phil. You know, Bakian brings these weirdos along for the ride, and the next thing you know, you're standing there holding it in the breeze.
Well, I'm not going to worry about it. The last thing that I'm going to do here is sweat the small crap. All right, look. One of the things that we did not get to on Friday that I'm very interested in, this is Ted Nugent. Now, Nugent, what are you going to say about Ted Nugent? I mean, this guy is not a very good guitar player.
No, just not do that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do that. He's not a very good guitar player. Never was a very good guitar player. But obviously, good at self-promotion. For all I know, this guy made his money, got his record deals or whatever else by putting a gun to somebody's head.
Holy Christ. You know what, Henry? That is actionable.
Don't tell me I'm going to get sued. I said, for all I know. I don't know. But in any event, Ted Nugent last week stepped over yet another line by essentially accusing the anti-gun lobby in this country of being beholden to Israel, of basically being a Jewish movement, a Jewish conspiracy. In fact, instead of pointing to the anti-gun attitudes that each of these individuals had, that Nugent pointed out, that he circled, if you will, that he highlighted on some... was this a meme or something?
I don't know. I think it could have been an ad. But it says that Ted Nugent, last week, in some sort of a presentation, pointed up the Israeli and Jewish connections of these people. For instance, Michael Bloomberg... who is an enemy of the Second Amendment, of course, and was pointed out that way by Ted Nugent. But it wasn't enough to say that Michael Bloomberg was an enemy of the Second Amendment. He went on and called Michael Bloomberg a 911 Israeli agent and New York City mayor.
And what is Nugent claiming here?
Nugent's claiming that, oh, you know, I've got a lot of Jewish friends and, you know...
He's got a lot of Jewish friends. This kind of stuff pisses me off. And I'll tell you something, I don't give a damn what Ted Nugent thinks he knows. If I ever come across this guy, you know what? I think I'll mount him the way he mounted that lion. What do you think of that? Spread eagle behind him with a grin on my face.
Hey!
Thank you.
Let's not be vulgar, all right?
Yes, General, you don't want to sink to his level.
Oh, yes, I do want to sink to his level, absolutely.
All right, so he said that about Bloomberg. Margaret, what else?
Margaret,
what else?
All right, Rahm Emanuel is another individual who is obviously very much anti-gun, in favor of gun control. But Rahm Emanuel was pointed out by this man. Where is the...
You know what? I don't think you have all of it.
God, that hacks me up.
Well, anyway, what was it? Rahm Emanuel is pointed out as being an Israeli agent, right?
Yes, Rahm Emanuel was also pointed out by what's his name? I can't find any of it, Phil.
Well, we had the story, and I guess we've lost part of it or something. Here's one. Here's his $1 billion drug bust, and it didn't get printed off. So my apologies.
But he basically said that Rahm Emanuel had ties to Israel. He said that Dianne Feinstein had ties to Israel. This is, then, the Ted Nugent way. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little bit. Any Jew that he sees in any kind of a woodpile, as far as Ted Nugent is concerned, therefore, this is an entire Jewish thing.
I'm just wondering, what is he really mentally diseased, or does he really believe this, or is he getting pissed off and he's decided to just go extreme, you know?
Well, let me tell you, I think this guy is... he's not getting the fame and the fortune that he used to have when he was a rock and roll star, whenever that was. And he needs more people to...
Yeah, it needs more people to lip-lock it, you know.
Please watch the filth, if you don't mind.
Well, Mr. Ray, that's what it is. Oh, that's exactly what it is. He wants more people bending over and lubing up, and he doesn't get it anymore. So he's decided to start his own lube factory. And what is it?
I'll tell you what. All right, enough, General. I get it. So he's not getting enough love, and he's not getting enough attention from the press, and this is the way to get it.
Absolutely.
All right. It could very well be. Austin Amarca, as I mentioned, is a listener of our show and has been for a number of years. Mr. Amarca is a cabinet maker in Lancaster, California. He's on his way to another job right now.
Austin, this is General Shaw. Do you hear me?
Yes, General, I hear you very well.
All right, and we've got Bud Dickman here.
Yep, Austin, it's Bud Dickman. Bud, what's going on?
All right, now, not a lot going on. I'm just listening to y'all and see what I can do to help out.
One of the things we want to know about is what you think about Ted Nugent and his, you know,
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, right, his name's Ted Nugent. And, if you know, you guys messing his name up on purpose is not going to knock me off of my due course, which is to try to interpret and explain Mr. Nugent.
His name is Ted Nugent. Austin, the question that I have...
Wait a minute, I got a question.
I'm sorry.
I forget.
Yeah, my question for you, Austin, is the following thing. Why would he point out all of the Israeli connections, so-called, all of the Jewish connections, so-called?
Well, I think Mr. Nugent is a person who has, I think, done a yeoman's job over the many years. And I'm right now, I hope you don't mind, Mr. Ender, but I'm listening to the Michael Savage show.
You know, Michael Savage is Jewish.
Michael Savage, I'm listening to the Michael Savage show right now.
You know, he's Jewish.
Well, you know, he may be, he may not be, but...
No, he is. He's Jewish, and he wouldn't deny that. Michael Savage is Jewish.
I don't think the name Savage is a Jewish...
Oh, come on, will you? Marco, you know as well as I do, that's a name that is... That's a made-up theatrical name.
A what?
That's a made-up name.
In other words, it's a nom de plume. Do you know what that means?
It's a fake name. His real name, I think, is Weiner.
I don't know anything of the sort. I think it's a little bit on the slanderous side for you to start, because we're talking about the Jewish influence on the gun. Now you're telling me the man that I listen to and enjoy more than probably any radio personality that has been on today, and that's Michael Savage. And you want to tell me he's a Jew because you know that I support Ted Nugent and his efforts at finding Jews and exposing them for the anti-gun people they are.
That was an awful lot of talking there for saying nothing there, Mr. Amarca.
Well, I didn't come on this program to be insulted.
Of course you didn't come on to be insulted, but when you say dumb things, that's what happens.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I can do is hang the phone up.
Well, you can hang the phone up or you can explain your position, whichever you want to do.
I want to explain my position, but I'm not going to sit here and take all kinds of, you know what, all kinds of, well, with my granddaughter, my daughter, all kinds of doo-doo, you know.
Yeah, doo-doo, there you go.
Hey, well, if you want me to say the regular word.
No, we don't want to say the regular word, but this is Bob, Robert Leonard, all right? My name, Bob Leonard, as you've called me.
Yeah, I like the name Bob. How you doing, Bob?
My name is Robert.
I understand it's Robert, but I think the name Bob, when we're talking about African Americans, and I don't mean to insult you, but all the great African Americans in the 20th century that had the name Robert were known as Bob. Bob Gibson, Bob Hayes, Bob, I don't know.
Bob. Bill, well, I don't know of any other than Bob.
That is an idiotic point.
I totally agree. That's a numbskull point of view.
That's a numbskull. All of the great black men who were named Robert were known as Bob.
Yeah, that's a numbskull point. I can't think of any hard and fast rule, but I'm not going to argue that with you, Mr. Mark, okay?
All right, well, you've called me a numbskull, an idiot.
Look, we're trying to get to the bottom of your support of Ted Nugent. Nugent said that all of the people that are anti-gun in this country, especially leadership positions, are pro-Jew. Now, why?
Because Mr. Nugent, down through the years, has kept his counsel, has kept his mouth shut, has gone ahead and played the rock and roll, has gone ahead and recorded the rock and roll albums under contract to the various producers. Among them most likely have been your Jewish producers and whatnot. He's kept his mouth shut. He's kept his own counsel until finally Ted Nugent's made enough money and God, you know, thank God, and is able now to speak his mind concerning the anti-gun. and he feels a great many. And the other thing, like you said, you know...
No, he feels a great many what?
He feels a great many are Jewish. Now, the other thing you said, though, that I think's important is that Ted Nugent, you know, he's looking at this situation from the standpoint of the fans and what they've done for him. And they haven't done nothing for him.
What are you talking about, not done nothing for him? Yes, what does that mean exactly, that they haven't done anything for him? This gets back to Phil's point about the not getting enough attention and love.
No, that's not enough attention and love. That is simply the fans recognizing his contribution to their lives. And it has been insufficient. As the result, Ted Nugent has had no choice at all, but to go ahead and call out the various Jewish influences afoot in this society when it comes to holding down weapons. Why? Because Ted Nugent gets his hand on a gun, and maybe he pays a visit to the very many of the fans.
What are you trying to say? You say Nugent's going to go door to door, visiting Nugent fans?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying, if Ted Nugent, in a perfect world, got his hands on a gun and decided that he wanted to go talk face to face with some of these so-called fans and say to them, yeah, all the great music that I've given you, all these and more will I give you. You know, like in the Dragon, all red blood, all red eyes, like his, only smaller.
What are you talking about, like his?
Like Ted's.
All right, let's slow down, because we're getting to that point in every interview that we seem to reach where brains become fevered, different metaphors and hyperbole and everything comes flowing, and no one knows what anyone's talking about.
Well, that's not me, Mr. Ed. I don't know. The only thing I didn't understand was what you just said there.
What I want to ask you is straight up. Ted Nugent, because he didn't get enough love, okay?
Because he didn't get enough love, as you put it. He did not get the honor and respect that it was due him of all. Look at all the guitar heroes that have bypassed Ted Nugent. You had all these guitar players like The Edge. Give me a break with The Edge. Like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Like with Stevie Vai, like Eddie Van Halen, all blew the doors right off Ted Van Halen. I'm sorry, Eddie Nugent. And
what do you mean, Eddie Nugent? You mean
Ted Nugent or Ted Nugent?
You know, this program has the toughest time with names.
Well, Phil, you know, the fish rots from the head.
That is a very good point, Phil. If you can't do it, you can't expect them to do it.
Mr. Eddie knows how to pronounce things.
I think I'm pronouncing stuff very, very well.
Well, okay there. Good for you, Pygmalion. You know, Dr. Deeblittler. Who was the guy that...
Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah. And Henry Higgins. Henry Higginbottom, right? Was that the guy?
From what?
From My Fair...
My Friend Flicka.
Yeah, from My Friend Flicka.
Okay, I've got to take a break, okay?
No. I don't want it. I'm not going to hang up, and I ain't taking no break. And I want to get this out, spit it out, and get it out good, because I think the time has come for the American people to know the truth.
Well, you can't tell Henry what a break.
Wait. That's okay. That's all right. Go ahead. Give it to me as the best way you know how.
I just did. Nugent has not gotten respect from the fans, so he's called it out. He's reaching into the grab bag of Nugentisms. He's reaching into the fun bag, into the Halloween sack of what for and why not. And he's come up with what, you got it, Jews. And Mr. Henry...
Well, you know, you can reach into grab bags and fun sacks and everything else, you know, and basically what you're coming up with is just something through pure chance.
You know, when you say reaching into the grab bag and the fun sack, I can well imagine you sitting there and grinning from ear to ear with the crab-eating grin that we all know you have, because you think that what I just said sounds like a guy walking down the street and doing a random grab. Is that right?
No, no one's saying random grab. Only random grab? Man, that's serious.
What is a random grab?
Yeah, what is a random grab?
Would somebody explain it?
The random grab's when a guy walks down the street and just for laughs, just reaches into a guy's pants.
And that's called the random grab.
Yes, that's a random grab.
And does this have homoerotic overtones?
No, ma'am, it does. Got nothing to do with that. It is purely and strictly something that that straight men do as a way of mud checking another guy.
Oh, get out of here. You know, your whole theory...
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, look at America. We're telling you that Ted Nugent's an anti-Semite.
No.
Yes, he's a Jew hater. But more than that, maybe you're right. Maybe he isn't so much a Jew hater as he is a guy that's crying for his mama. And he wants to have the milk bottle of adulation and love.
No, all right. Now I will not admit to either thing. I will not tell you that this man, Ted Nugent, is an anti-Semite. But I'm not going to say that he also loves the milk bottle of adulation and wants to suck on the nipple of God of hero worship. And I would also say that Ted Nugent does not want to fondle the large breast of...
All right, we've got the point. Thank you.
You going to hang up on me?
I'm going to tell you that we have to take a break, and I don't want to go any further with this interview, Mr. Remarka, but this is why. I knew we were going to have problems with you on Friday.
But I'm going to ask one more question.
Go ahead, Bud Dickman.
Oh, this guy Dickman's been bothering me with phone calls.
No, hold on. Because you don't think that Ted Nugent is anti-Semitic, okay?
No, I do not.
Then he must be saying all this stuff for effect.
No, he's not saying it for effect. He's saying it because if you look at these people, they are against guns. And yeah, they are associated with the Jewish faith, but that's got nothing to do with it.
Then why did he point it out?
What do you mean pointed it out?
He's got the Israeli flag next to all their pictures.
What? All right, I'm not familiar with that. Okay.
You're looking at the meme, right?
Yeah, I got it right here.
What do you think that is?
What do I think what is?
What is that flag that's next to all those pictures?
That is a five-pointed star, all right. That's the Star of David. He's saying that's the Israeli flag.
Oh, man. You don't even know what that is.
Are you clowns saying...
No, we're not the clowns. You are. Yes, we're saying that, yeah. But I think you're the clown.
No, what I am is a man who's been sent on a mission. If you say that's the Israeli flag... You know,
It is? What do you say to that?
I say, if that's the Israeli flag, that's the... That, yeah. But also, okay, here's one. Israel has Arabs in it, too.
Yes, Israel has Arabs in it, but Israel is the Jewish state, okay? And with putting those flags next to those people's pictures, Ted Nugent has said in that ad, or whatever that thing is, he has said...
You don't know whether it's an ad.
Hold on. He has said that they're affiliated with the Jewish interest, the anti-gun lobby of the Jewish people. So that's what he's saying, and you're sitting here backing his ass up saying he's not anti-Semitic, he's just pissed off because not enough people have shown him love.
That's my feeling, and that's where I'm at. And let me tell you something. I've loved Ted Nugent for so many years, and I've listened to his music for so many years. He's given me joy for so many years, and he's given my wife and even my son, Bradley. And Bradley's only 5, but he loves Ted Nugent music because I exposed him to it. And you people want to ruin that and take it away from me and say the guy is full of hate and is dumb. I'm not going to let that happen to my boy. I'll do anything for the boy. And even if I've got to crawl to the altar of truth and pray to God, don't let the boy...
Yeah?
Nothing.
Well, he's emotional now. Don't let the boy what?
I don't want my boy to be exposed. Oh, you dumbass.
Look, you don't want your boy to be exposed to dumbasses. Then I suggest you give him up for adoption.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're really funny.
Are you all right, sir?
I don't know.
No, he doesn't sound all right. Are you all right, Mr. Marker?
I'm all right, whatever. I hear you.
You hate me.
No, I hear you.
You want to hit me?
Yeah, hey.
All right. Mr. Marka, thank you so very much.
I'm just screwing around. See, I had you believing that I actually had a problem. Now, that's what Ted's Nugent is doing. He is taking...
Ted, you know, I don't appreciate you screwing around.
Wait a minute, what were you doing?
I was messing around to show you how far I can take it. That's what Ted Nugent is doing. He's taking you down the road of believability.
You know, I think you got to go back and take another look at your strategy here and go up a different highway, okay?
What was going up a different highway? I told you that Ted Nugent's taking you down the road of believability.
And where were you going with the whole fake heart attack act?
I wanted you to believe that if... Would you turn that goddamn radio down?
But, Daddy...
Turn it down.
Yeah, Michael.
That was the boy. I slapped the boy. Are you proud of it?
I didn't do it. You did it.
Turn the radio down.
I'm a retired cop. I did a lot of investigation.
My boy won't even do what I want to do. Turn the radio down, son. Fuck you. Oh, man.
Could very well have posted this. All right, Austin, good luck.
Turn the radio down, son. Fuck it.
How old is your son?
5.
That doesn't sound like a 5-year-old.
5. Turn it down, son. Fuck that. Fuck that. Turn it down. No. Turn it down. No. Oh. Yeah, see, I told you. He turned it. Oh, wait a minute. We're going off a cliff.
Is that,
Yeah.
That was Austin Markle, ladies and gentlemen, a cabinet maker from northern L.A. County.
And you said, is that, and you went, yeah, what were you guys communicating there?
Is that the end of that conversation?
Yeah.
Do you believe that car was going off a cliff?
No.
Why did he try to make us believe it was going off a cliff?
Why did he try to make us believe he was having a heart attack?
Yes, there's a better question.
Well, I know what he said.
Yeah, you know what he said, but what's the real reason?
Yeah, what's the real reason that guy wants to believe he's having a heart attack and then he's going off a cliff?
Wants us to feel sorry for him.
Yes. And why would he want us to feel sorry for him?
Because he feels put upon as the only person,
Well, he wants us to feel sorry for him because he is put upon in his life. And I think it was a cry for help. Even to the point where he had some guy out there, a guy pretending he's a 5-year-old boy. But you could clearly hear the guy go, yeah, that stuff.
What are you talking about?
Obviously, the guy, wants us to believe that he is, it's a cry for help.
Yes, right there. It's a cry for help.
A cry for help from what? Because he's an idiot? A cry for help to rescue him from being dumb? To rescue him from having locked himself in a supporting Ted Nugent? Or what,
Well, Phil, that's for you to know and for the rest of us to find out.
I don't know what either one or all of you are talking about here.
When you say either one, you mean me and the general.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, folks, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
That's for you to know and for me to find out.
Is Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico, Southern California, back.
Backstage Pass gets you, 20,000 plus hours of archive material. It also gets you our high quality, our high definition video. It also gets you, of course, all of our classic podcasts. It also gets you... Well, it gets you the daily podcast. It gets you our Friday night chats. It gets you our specialty BSP-only Saturday show. It gets you our now Saturday cinema show. Last weekend's show was The Limping Man. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was nuts, man.
That Limping Man is the most... Well, let's just say this. It had a very, very unusual ending for its time.
Yeah, well, that's not... I think that's key.
Right. The Limping Man.
What do they call it, Limping Man?
Shut up. It's called The Limping Man because there was a character in the movie that limped, and I don't want to go any further than that. It stars Lloyd Bridges, and it looks like it was a British production, but that's also a part of our Backstage Pass package. So it's all there at philhenryshow.com for 1 year Backstage Pass. You'll receive, this month, you'll receive all of our best of digital downloads. That is the best of Phil Henry digital downloads, the best of radio, from 1997 through 2005, a $150 value, yours and yours alone, when you get the 1 year BSP. So don't delay, baby. Do it today. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, welcome back. Who is this man?
That's Slipknot called a skeptic.
All right, I want to check out and, what were you asking me earlier?
Well, I wanted to know, how did the, you already told us how the lab work went.
Yeah, the thing at the Hollywood Improv was fine, but it wasn't, I was not, it wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, and,
What else did you do this weekend?
What's everybody interested in that for?
Well, I just want to know what you did this weekend,
Well, what did you guys do this weekend?
I didn't do jack squat. I'm just asking you.
Phil, you're the host of the show, so we're just wondering what you did this weekend.
Actually, nothing. Sat around on my dead ass and did nothing. You know, I'm working 7 days a week.
Well, my son, you ought to take some time off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, take some time off. Are you kidding me, man? I got more people. I got more mouths to feed. I have more people that are responsible than I'm irresponsible. See what I mean?
No.
So, no, I can't take that. By the way, this guy's name is Ted Nugent, not Ted Nugent. If I have to say that again, I'm going to commit homicide. All right. All right, folks, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. And crystal meth, General.
What they had was a bust down there in Australia. $1 billion worth of the ice, baby. Crank. You know, the sweet of the sweet. And it was hidden inside the gel padding of brassieres.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. Australian Customs discovered around 190 liters of liquid methamphetamine. So they call that down in Australia.
No, the methamphetamine.
I know, but in Australia they call it methamphetamine.
Well, let's have to double check on that.
Don't have to double check anything.
Let me see that. Methamphetamine bra implant honka. He's right. It says methamphetamine. A further 530 liters were found in art supplies. Oh, God. To take the art world and to demean and to debase it this way, it sickens me all the way down below the intestinal tract. You know what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah, I mean...
No, but really, below the intestinal tract, as if I have no more control over anything having to do with the excretion, and I say that with all... Well, never mind. See, this one's laughing. I cannot get one thing said without that over there laughing.
Let's talk about excretions.
All right, would you please, if you have to, if you have to describe how nauseated you are, I think nauseated suffices. You know?
No, it does not suffice.
Well, Margaret, it's going to have to suffice. Otherwise, you're telling us all about what's oozing down. Oh, Jesus.
I said nothing of the sort.
Wait a minute. $1 billion drug bust in Australia. Australian Customs discovered around 190 liters of liquid methamphetamine bra implants from Hong Kong. This was in wherever it was in Australia.
Well, it was probably in one of the big ports. Melbourne or so on and so forth.
Yeah, it could have been. Sydney. But nonetheless, these were the Australian Federal Police. The bust is one of the biggest in Australia's history and the largest seizure of liquid methamphetamine ever. Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we're going to be talking with him here about this terrible, terrible situation there. What with the... nabbing of all this crystal meth.
It's not exactly a terrible situation. Not if you're into snorting that stuff.
Yeah. A duly authorized organization swings into action.
I'm only kidding.
He called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol.
These are the stories
of the men who,
come on, will you?
Skill and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, joining us here. And, Jay, you saw this? This liquid, whatever the hell it is, it's methamphetamine?
Exactly. Call it methamphetamine. Right now, Phil, you might be interested to know that we are in the middle of one of our operations. This is Code Brown. And this is to nab something similar to ice, similar to the methamphetamines. It is not quite as explosive, I think, as methamphetamine, and certainly is nothing that the news media covers in great quantity in the United States. But nonetheless, it is something the Citizens Auxiliary Police is all over. We are all over it, and we're going to stay on top of it and fully just draping ourselves over top of it until we can get Brown downtown. Now, Operation Brown, or if you will, take Brown downtown, has been something we've been on for about 4 years. And I think we're closing in on it.
What do you mean, Brown?
What is this?
Operation Brown is...
Not Operation. What is Brown?
Brown is coffee espresso, ground-up espresso, which is the most powerful coffee bean. It has the highest level of caffeine. And these are ground-up and sprinkle, if you're ready for this, General, and you too, Phil... And they grind it up and sprinkle it over chocolate. so that the kids that are going to school in the morning are eating calf, are eating espresso beans covered with a sprinkled over chocolate.
Well, all right, so is it the caffeine and the chocolate sprinkled over top?
Well, Ms. Gray, it doesn't make any difference. Yes, that's what. I mean, I wish you wouldn't get bogged down in quibbling over this kind of thing.
Not quibbling. We want to be able to recognize it.
Yes, we want to be able to recognize what we're looking at, so I'm not quibbling.
All right, you're not quibbling, but when you say it, sounds to me like you want to get a recipe, you know?
No, she's not trying to get a recipe. I understand her question.
All right, so what was your question?
My question is it the coffee is...
Oh, yeah, the coffee bean, and then the chocolate is ground up and sprinkled over top the coffee bean. And we call it brown. What we're doing is we're getting brown. Mr. Henry, it's not like ice. It's not like methamphetamine. It's not like any of those. But this is a... yes, it is a drug. Caffeine is a drug, and it's being enjoyed by these underage, younger than middle school age kids who go out and get brown. If you listen to these kids, and we do have some tapes that we wanted to play for you.
Now, are these surveillance tapes?
They are surveillance tapes. They were taken basically with the hidden recording equipment behind Mufin's Market, which is down here in Torrance where the kids meet. They'll meet there in the morning. They get Hostess cream pies, or they get a Hostess pie, and a lot of times they'll score brown.
What do you mean by score brown? Are they scoring it illegally?
Well, it is illegal. It's not. It's illegal for them. It's my judgment. If they have brown, okay.
What is brown? Is it the coffee beans?
It's coffee beans, but it's also sprinkled with a little bit of chocolate.
So this is something that's sold in a store.
It's sold in a store to adults, yeah. But are you trying to tell me a 9-year-old kid is supposed to be sucking brown?
Well, I mean, they have it in the house.
They may have it in the house. But when you got kids popping brown, that's my judgment call. And all we do is we say, you know, what are you kids doing? And they'll say, like this one punk kid that I talked to, kid's name is Tyler Rice, and I said, what are you kids doing? He goes, none of your business, because my dad told me not to talk to you because you're weird. And I said, okay, let's go ahead and, you know, see some ID. And
see, Jay, this is where you get into trouble. You have no right to talk to any kid and demand ID.
And if the kid's there popping brown?
What do you mean popping brown? You haven't told us yet whether brown is illegal or not. See, it's caffeine. It all it is coffee beans.
Right, coffee beans that could very well have been stolen. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, that's okay if they were stolen.
Yeah, if the kids shoplifted them.
Do you know if the kids shoplifted those?
We don't know, but that's what we want to stop and talk about. All I want to do is stop and talk about. Okay? So...
All right, so you're stopping to talk to find out whether this brown, as you call it, these coffee beans with chocolate on them... look, Jay, it doesn't sound...
Hold on for a minute. Hey, why don't you stick it right straight up where it came from? I got a guy leaning on a horn. Hold on for a minute, Phil. Right here. Look at this. See him, Billy? All right, Phil, you want to see? We got two kids over here with brown. Hold on. Pull it up. Hey! What? You got brown? Oh, you brown? Am I brown? What's that supposed to mean? Look, Tyler Watkins, you and Timmy Tudecker, we know you guys. We've seen you around town. Why don't you shove it? Yeah? I'll tell you. Keep going. So, right there, Mr. Henry.
What was that about?
There's two kids here, Timmy Tudecker and Tyler Swenson. These two kids have got brown. I know they're brown. As a matter of fact, hold on for a minute.
25-22. I got two suspects here on court. I think they're brown.
Roger. So we'll have a follow-up unit.
You know, you have no right. You've got no...
We're not going to get into whether I have a right. I got the constitutional right. Citizen's arrest.
You know, I'm not going to argue with you about that, Jay. What I'm going to argue with you about is the legality. First of all, are kids not allowed to have this so-called... You ever heard anything like this, bud?
I never...
What are you talking to Dickman for? I'm a citizen's auxiliary police.
Well, that's fine. So what is the law about young children owning or holding or buying caffeine?
What if they steal it? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
All right, if these kids have shoplifted, you got a point.
Well, that's what I want to check. I want to check the brown. And
are you talking about coffee beans?
I am talking about brown.
Are you talking about coffee beans?
Brown.
I'm going to say it one more time. These are coffee beans with chocolate, General, okay? Is that what it is?
It's brown, yeah.
Oh, man, do I hate you so much. The hatred I feel for you.
Is brown.
Yeah, it's brown.
All right, so I'm sorry, General, but I've got to go according to the book. Now,
what book are you talking about, JJ? I'm the of all the guys here, you know me, I defend you more than anybody else.
That's a ton of horse. Oh.
Now, you really don't, Mr. Henry. What do you mean I don't?
You don't defend me any more than anybody else. You lead, you're generally the guy that's leading the pack. And when you get done with me, they pants me.
Well, Jay, if the worst thing that happens to you is getting pantsed,
now, how do you like that? You think Henry's a real evil guy because you get pantsed?
I'm saying in a figurative sense. In a figurative sense, when you chase me, General, I am crucified on a windmill and Frankenstein, and I don't want to say it.
Yeah, but when Phil chases you, you're figuratively pantsed.
It's bad, but yeah, it's not as bad as getting nailed or a cross.
All right, I want you to stop with that imagery and stop with those kinds of comments. We're talking here with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are discussing ice that was brought into Australia, $1 billion worth of ice that was being smuggled into Australia, I should say, and was interdicted by the Australian Federal Police.
By the way, you say?
Did you say something?
What did you say?
What was that word you used? What was that say?
What did I say?
What did Mr. Henry say?
What did Mr. Henry say what? Interdict?
Yeah, right. Oh, interdict. What's that mean?
It means to stop.
All right, we're going to write that down. Hey, Bob.
Get out of here, will you? All right, we're talking with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Let's go to Roy on line three. Roy, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Jay, do you know me? It's Roy Biskey. Roy Biskey, that's right. I live three blocks over. You pulled over my son, who, by the way, I say you pulled him over. He wasn't driving a car. He was on his bike, and he was coming back from the grocery store with a carton of milk, and I'd asked him to get me some of those little caffeinated chocolate-covered beans. He says, you pulled him over, asked him where he copped the brown. He said he got it for his father. And you said you didn't believe him, and you hit the bag out of his hand, and it spilled all over the street.
Well, let me ask you, what do you need it for?
That's none of your business what I need it for. But I enjoy it. I like to pop them while I'm watching afternoon television.
On a weekday.
I beg your pardon, sir?
On a weekday.
Yes, on a weekday. What difference does it make?
What difference does it make if it's a weekday?
Oh, excuse me, General. I'm talking to the gentleman. So, Mr. Biskey, you're popping caffeinated beans, chocolate-covered caffeine bean, on a weekday watching the TV.
That's exactly what I'm doing. While his mother was making dinner, she needed a quart of milk for some cream spinach that she's making. Okay?
All right, well, just so I got this cream spinach, which, okay.
And what does that mean? You don't have any right telling me what to eat. You do not have the right. And my son, so here, Mr. Henry, the reason why I called is to let you know and let your audience know that I'm filing a civil action against Mr. Santos. It will be a civil action having to do with his physical contact with my son.
You better watch what you put in that, because that everybody thinks that means molestation. I did not do anything like that.
No, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, molestation has a different meaning. It can mean that you just touched him.
That is a load of horse manure, and you know it.
No, I don't. And I'll tell you something else, Mr. Santos. There's parents all over this neighborhood are sick and tired of you looking at brassieres and checking to see who wears panties. And I personally was accosted by you when you were on that whole, excuse me, when you were on that whole kick 2 years ago about men wearing thongs, and I had a hand put down my pants. I'm not even going to do.
Well, you know something, sir? You sure are going into a lot of detail. Look, if you want to sue me, you sue me, okay? You sue me, Jay Sanders, this is Auxiliary Police. Because I'm trying to keep Brown off the street.
You are a mental case. You need a doctor.
All right, that's Roy. We're with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What is the next step? Now, you've just alienated that man.
That guy is a neighborhood nut. Goes way back.
Doesn't sound like a nut to me. He said that you put your hands on his son.
I didn't put my hands on his son. I knocked a bag of brown. Okay?
What are you talking about, brown? All this is coffee bean.
Yeah, all this is coffee bean? It may very well only be coffee bean. But it's got a chocolate nougat covering. First of all, it's got a chocolate covering. Then it's got the coffee bean. Then it's got the nougat center. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, fine. I don't know what that means.
The nougat center.
Yes, the nougat center. Sure got quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, we're trying to... We're digesting that one.
All right, tell you what, Jay, I'm going to let you go because I have a call into that Father Roy Biskey. He was very, very angry. I want to hear his side of things and get back to you on just exactly what will be the disposition of this.
Oh, you're going to get back to me after you talk to Biskey? After he lies to you? That's all he's going to do, lie to you.
I'll get back to you after we talk to Biskey. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Brown.
Yeah, that Brown, all his coffee. This guy... Because he can't be a junior G-man, and because he isn't, DEA or any of this other jazz, he wants to go out and pretend like he's interdicting, you know.
Well, that was a word I used.
Yeah, he didn't know what it meant, but he wanted to, he wrote it down.
He wants to interdict Brown, which is a coffee bean covered in chocolate. This is a guy that would, you know what he could use? He could use one of those dude ranch vacations.
Yeah, there you go, right there. Go to a dude ranch and rope cows.
Yeah, rope cows is right. Somebody ought to rope him.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Santos. Coming next is Bobby Dooley, and Bobby is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, as well as the president of the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. And she is actually a supporter of Ted Cruz. She's now moved,
oh, come on.
She's now moved from Trump to Cruz, and the reason is that she finds his case having to do with one of the issues, as she said, very, very seductive. I know what it is. He wants to filibuster. Ted Cruz wants to filibuster President Obama's Supreme Court nominee. He will filibuster.
So he doesn't even want to know who it's going to be, huh?
No, doesn't want to know. So that's coming up next year, the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
This is a
This is Margaret Gray. Oh, God. This is Margaret Gray, and this is the world famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. What is this movie with Mick Jagger in it? Did you see this?
I just saw this, yeah. Mick Jagger in a new movie.
Looks like some rock and roll movie, and I,
it's called Vinyl, Sundays at 9 on HBO.
Anyway, this is the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Don't forget, if you enter our contest to win a phone date with Bobby Dooley, get a full year subscription to the Phil Henry Show website, you are automatically in the running for a phone date with Bobby Dooley. And then, of course, you're also eligible for our giveaway of the Best of Radio. And everybody that is a subscriber to the website, whether it is a monthly subscription or it is a full year subscription, wins a free download as well. Because it's Valentine's weekend, man.
Yeah,
Valentine's weekend.
Well, we're going to get Bobby Dooley on the line here. And I know that she has, I think she's in the mall or was in the mall.
Bobby was in the mall shopping, right?
Yes, and she's getting underwear or something for the boys. This is going to be very, very interesting, I think.
Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Hi, Bobby, and pleasant good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning.
And Steve there?
Yeah, Steve is off right now. He's over at the Sporting Goods. I think he's taking back some boxing gloves. That he got.
Boxing gloves? Is he using the speed bag?
I don't know what. It's the big hanging bag that he's using.
Bobby, you sent out an email to your homeowners saying that you and Steve had now switched your allegiance from Ted Trump to Donald Cruz. Were you aware that you'd made that mistake?
Yeah, I was told, yes, later on that we had called him Ted Trump. But nonetheless, we are switching our allegiance to Ted Trump.
You mean to Donald Cruz?
No.
To Ted Cruz, right?
To Ted Cruz, yeah. But of the two names that were on the memo, Donald Cruz or Ted Trump, I told everyone the closest to it was Ted Trump.
Well, why not Donald? I don't understand. Why not Donald Cruz?
Yeah, would you say Donald Cruz?
I'm not going to get in an argument about this. People wanted to pin me down right away. Do you support Ted Trump or Donald Cruz? I said I put the names wrong on the memorandum.
Right, dear. We're not going to hold you to it.
I know that. But when everybody was calling me up and saying, hey, 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 and I said, all right, Ted Trump.
All right, Ted Trump it is.
Right, but I know that's not the name of the band that's running.
No, it's Ted Cruz.
Right, but people were thinking, was that Donald Cruz? I said, no, it's Ted Cruz. They said, you didn't say that.
All right, why don't you just tell everybody there, and I'm going to say something, Bobby, that I'm totally on your side on when I say this, okay?
Well, Phil.
No, please just understand, I'm totally on your side.
My husband has to overhear it.
Go ahead, get Steve.
Steve.
Yeah.
Mr. Henry's going to be in support of us, but he's going to say something crude.
Well, okay.
Tell the people that are giving you a hard time because you called him Donald Cruz and Ted Trump, and that you're supporting Ted Trump. First of all, tell them you are now supporting Ted Cruz.
Well, now they're going to say that
they're going to say she changed, Mr. Henry.
Wait a minute. Tell them that you now support Ted Cruz, that you no longer support Ted Trump or Donald Cruz, and they should take their concerns and shove them up their ass.
Oh, my God.
We can't do that, Phil.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Tell them they should take their concerns and shove it up their ass, General.
I have to concur with that. Otherwise, you're constantly being victimized by these homeowners, these effete clowns that, you know, God rest your soul when you do die, Bobby. But right now, just God help you. You are the one that admitted them into your homeowners association.
How was I supposed to know that they were going to break our castanets on this deal?
Yeah, how are we supposed to know? Break the castanets.
What difference does it make? Just tell them you made a mistake.
Aha, there it is. Bud was right.
Steve, just let them know you made the mistake.
If I tell them that I made a mistake, that begins chipping away at what has been a very, very, I say unto you, a very, very carefully constructed icon, which is me, as the Homeowners Association president.
I can assure you, with all of the experience that I've had with human beings, I can assure you that they will not only will they accept your explanation, not only will they accept being told to pound it up their ass, they'll apologize to you.
Are you sure, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I'm sure.
Phil?
I'm sure.
My God, Phil, if this gets us ousted as the president and the vice president,
She's getting nervous now.
If this gets us ousted...
My wife has a pill problem.
We know your wife has a pill. What's going on with her now?
Honey, what's wrong?
Give me the phone. If this gets us ousted...
My wife... Mr. Henry, you know my wife has a pill problem.
I know she's got a pill problem. What's this got to do with me?
Because of what you asked her, it so inundated her with so much. She's so frightened and she's so nervous and disjointed, she can't get the word. Honey, say it again.
I'm saying if this gets us ousted at the president of the party.
My wife can't say it.
Then you say it, okay?
Can I have permission? Honey, may I have permission to say it?
Oh, my God.
But he need permission.
You're not allowed to say it?
I've got to get permission from the president, may I?
If that, you're going to have to. I can't.
If it gets us ousted as the president and the vice president and treasurer of the Homeowners Association, Mr. Henry, you'll be the one who's responsible.
Oh, well, okay. I'll take that responsibility.
Bobby, he says you'll take the responsibility.
That did.
Bobby says you're full of it, you know.
That did.
I can't say the word.
That.
My wife has a pill problem.
Yeah, we know she got a pill problem, man.
Look, why don't you get her to the hospital and get her detoxed, okay?
No, it'll pass. This happens every Friday night.
Well, this is Monday night. Well, actually, Monday.
It is?
You know, Steve, you got some real problems there. Besides having a wife who's ODing on pills, you have a homeowners association, a group of individuals who are going to rise up and revolt. Apparently, because your wife is getting the name of Ted Cruz right. Now, let me ask you, why did she change?
My wife changed to support Ted Cruz when she saw that he was going to filibuster anyone who President Obama nominates to replace Justice Scalia. And I said, why, honey? And she said, what did you say, honey? All right, I'll interpret. She found him oddly seductive when he said that.
Got it.
And she found him oddly seductive, and there was something very exciting about him.
May I, as a woman, comment?
Bobby, Margaret wants to comment.
That's it.
She said no.
Well, I'm good. That's ridiculous.
Go ahead, Margaret.
I will comment anyway. I think that the statements you just made about Ted Cruz being oddly seductive and being very compelling and so forth, no wonder she made those. If she has a pill addiction problem, and right now it sounds like she's going through some kind of a toxic relapse, it all makes sense that she thinks that Ted Cruz, with that overbite and that rat nose of his...
God. Hey, why don't you watch it, you know?
Watch what?
Well, I may not be a Ted Cruz supporter.
Bobby, she just said Ted Cruz has a rat nose.
Oh, do you have to report everything?
Yes, I do.
That's on my bed.
Oh, wow. She said take sandpaper to...
All right, dump that, okay?
My God, sandpaper to my...
All
right, dump... When your wife gets off the pills, I want to talk to her, okay?
You can't demand my wife... Bobby, Mr. Henry, what? Okay.
Bobby Dooley, who's having a pill problem right now.
What do you mean pill problem?
Obviously, she's having a reaction to something, do you think?
No, I think that she either OD'd or she's going through the withdrawal symptoms.
No, man. She always does that when she takes too many of a certain pill. Might be too much speed.
You know what? I'm going to have to check her Twitter feed tonight. This ought to be good. Bobby Dooley. You can, by the way, check out Bobby on Twitter. It's twitter.com/BOBBIEDOOLEY, right?
Yes, and Steve Dooley is at SD Landscapes. SD Landscapes. At twitter.com/SD Landscapes. But what she's saying about Ted Cruz, I cannot take it seriously.
Look, you know, look, this thing about Ted Cruz being not very, people don't like him, etc. There might be a lot of people that don't like him, but there's got to be some people that do. In fact, there's a lot of people that find what they think is his honesty.
That guy is about as honest as the Willie Sutton. You know, little teeny Willie Sutton, you know about him?
No, what'd he do?
He was a bank robber, that's what he did.
Oh, literally, where he said, little Willie Sutton with a makeup kit.
Yes, little Willie Sutton with a makeup kit. This guy had a little makeup kit, and he'd, you know, put on the makeup.
Okay, damn.
Don't give me that bullcrap.
All right, so, but the point being that he has his detractors, but he does have his supporters. And Bobby Dooley, in particular, finding him to be, quote, seductive and compelling and all this good shit. This is too rich, man, that we're going to have to look into that one. All right, well, we'll be back tomorrow to cover a little bit more of this folderol and whatnot here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very, very much. Thanks, everybody over there at the Hollywood Improv for putting up with me last night. And, Margaret, take it away.
All right, Phil, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Live from the El Pacifico, it is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved here on Podcast One. And we didn't tell you happy Valentine's Day, because that was yesterday, but a happy Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Happy Valentine's Day.
Where'd you get your girlfriend?
I will not say, but our Valentine's Day is coming up on Wednesday.
I see. That's when
the goods will be delivered. World famous Phil Henry Show. See you later.